Thank you for having me, Rebecca. I really enjoyed the last time I had a Spokane Public Radio interview.
Oh, good. When was that? Was that? I must have not been here yet. I have only been here for their 4.5 months, roughly.
That was back in 2017. I ran for state representative in the 6th legislative.
Well, I'll make sure to find that. Well, I appreciate you for being here today and taking some time to talk to us. And one of the first things I always do, especially with as many recordings as I have for these races, is ask every candidate to say their full name and then also the position that they're running for.
My name is Rihanna Metsu. I'm running for school director in District 81, seat 4.
And the first question I ask every candidate, whether they're running for school board or city council, is just maybe tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and also why you want to run for school board.
I'm a military veteran. I joined the Navy when I was 19 years old. I grew up in Inglewood, California. I went to a school called Morningside High School. That was pretty much a segregated school, or as close to a segregated school as you can get. There were very little programs, and since there were very little programs, the graduation rate was quite low. But instead of fixing that with programs to help out the students, they just turned it into a prison with barbed wire fences and metal detectors to get in. So it was a horrible experience. So once I decided to get out of there, that's when I joined the Navy. I served on the USS Greenville, a fast attack submarine, for 6.5 years as a sonar technician. I went on 2 deployments during Operation Iraqi Freedom. And then when I returned home, that was pretty much right at the beginning of the 2008 crash. So finding a job was pretty difficult, and I was dealing with a little bit of PTSD at the time. So I basically decided to try and go back to school for computer engineering. I went to DeVry University. After I finished that, I moved up to Washington State. I lived on the west side, over in Fife, in Puyallup. After working there for about 3.5 years, one of my friends that I worked with moved over here. So I used to drive back and forth visiting him and his new wife. And that's when I met my wife, and I decided to move over here, started a new job over here, got married. And now I'm a FedEx driver, and I've just been involved in the political process for the last, I'd say, 5 years in Spokane, Washington.
Have you had any affiliation with Spokane Public Schools, with any teaching, any kids or nieces or nephews going there?
Yes. So when I got married, my wife had a 7-year-old daughter. She's now 13 next week. I always say 13 going on 32. But she's going to be 13 next week, and she actually just graduated 6th grade yesterday. We had a graduation ceremony.
Okay. Thank you for taking a few minutes to tell me kind of about yourself. And I guess the last question or part of that is, what motivated you to run for school board?
What motivated me to run for school board was all the equity work that the school board has been doing, and I like a lot of it. And one of the main goals that I have for being on the school board is to make sure that there's follow-through. Very often, resolutions get passed or people have good ideas, but there's nobody to put pressure on the follow-through of the process that was put forward. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason is, like I said before, I'm a military service member. And once I got involved in politics here in Spokane, I've just been trying to continue my public service in some way where I can help the most people. And so since I have a daughter that is in the public school system, this is a way to make sure that one of the priorities is her education, her safety, her well-being, and the safety, education, and well-being of all students as well.
I guess that does get to my, or I had one quick clarification. Are you still doing military service or are you a veteran?
I'm a veteran.
Okay. And my first question does relate to the equity resolution. I think it's something that's on a lot of people's minds, still a year after it passed. It sounds like you do approve of the idea behind it. And, the equity lens, the cultural competent training. So I guess, do you agree with it? And was there maybe any gaps or missing areas in that resolution? And going forward, what do you think needs to be a part of the conversation about how we continue to look at these issues with this promise that the school board has made?
Well, that was a very long question.
Yes, I'm
So
sorry.
I'll do the best I can. So yes, I do agree with the equity resolution. The only gap I see is in the classwork that is actually being done. I think we need to start a little bit earlier, working on the emotional and compassionate classroom training, like empathy training, so to speak. For students, I'd say like right at the age where kids start forming friendships and kind of organizing into groups in those friendships, I think that's when we need to start, kind of getting the idea out there that, that when another kid's hurt, you should feel hurt too and do everything you can to, mitigate that hurt that another kid's feeling. Try and just put our children in the other children's shoes. And what I believe is that won't only solve, the racial equity problem that we see stem up in students sometimes, but it also solves a bullying issue that our schools are starting to have, or that our schools are having. And what I mean by that is, before school shut down, my daughter, typical for the tweeny age, she would have friends and best friends. They come to the night, she would go spend the night at their house. Those friendships lasted, 5, 6 months, halfway to three quarters through the school year. Now they're cycling since schools reopened to every 3 to 4 weeks. And so, some people's kids may be all right, but from what I'm seeing, some people's kids are not okay. So we really need to push on having that emotional and mental health support for our students. And let's not forget the teachers as well, because I'm very sure that teachers had a hard time during the shutdown phase. Now, when it comes to what to do about these issues in the future, I would say just keep your ear to the ground and listening to the problems that are arising and coming up with basic ways to kind of tackle those problems, trying to solve them using the people that are active in the education community. Because one thing I'll tell you is that I still have a lot to learn, and I'm open to learn from many, many people, and which I have been doing, especially during this election cycle, just trying to learn as much as I can. So when I do talk about an issue, I have a good grasp of what's actually going on before I comment on it. So it's just basically just keeping in touch with the community that you're serving.
And that does kind of get into my next question, talking about kind of some of the gaps of being, sending kids home for a year. I think during the pandemic, there was a lot of gaps in technology and help at home kind of laid pretty bare for a lot of families. And going forward, kids are still going to have to take their homework home and find a way to do it. And a lot of them still don't have internet access, or they still don't have a lot of support. As a school board member, addressing these needs that we've seen that have become apparent over this last year, do you have any ideas about maybe how the school board could do a little bit better in the future about making sure that kids do have what they need, in terms of technology and support?
Good question. For the most part, the school board itself doesn't kind of go into the utility sector of the district that they operate in. That's something that the school board has to reach out to the city, in this case, the city of Spokane, to try and get them to come up with programs and partnerships with internet service providers that will have like low income programs for families that have students attending school. It's especially since what we see is that so much more work, for the most part, was getting done when kids were at home and able to like kind of do work at their own pace. And so I think what I would do as a school board member is reach out to elected officials within the city, city's leadership, the mayor, the city council members, and work in partnership with them to ensure that there are programs available for low-income families to have internet service at their home so their children can take part in the technological education that everyone else takes part in.
And then the last question that I have, that's like just a formal question that I want, thought about in advance at all, is this year, there with the school board, one of the biggest things that outside of redistricting, one of the biggest things that they and most public things that they discussed was, where to have their downtown stadium. And that was one of those things that a lot of people were like, oh, I thought we already resolved this and, it's coming back again. They did end up deciding to move it downtown and have this partnership. And I do you think that Spokane Public Schools partnering with businesses and other groups like the Public Facilities District is a good idea that leverages our resources better? Or in the future, do you have some concerns about partnerships like this? Maybe this is like subsidizing downtown businesses or something like that, and working with maybe corporations and businesses and letting them have a share in our taxpayer resources is maybe a bad idea.
Another long question. Thank you. I will say that it depends on who benefits. Now, in some cases, like the stadium, I like personally, I believe that there were a lot of business interests that wanted to see that stadium go downtown. A lot of real estate. Moguls want to see that go downtown because, property values or in real estate values skyrocket. I think that, it depends on who benefits from it. And I think some of the concessions that were made to move the stadium downtown were good concessions. I just don't really feel the school board did a really good job of getting those out. I'm sure I think they're working on that now to make sure people understand the benefits of moving it downtown. What I will say is I think the way to go before you make the vote is to make sure that people understand the benefits they're getting before they make that vote, especially since we had the moratorium. It's not a moratorium, it's what was it called back in 2007?
Initiative or the advisory.
The advisory vote. There we go. Especially since we have the advisory vote and people voted to keep the stadium where it is. So as a elected official, if I were leaning in the direction to go against that advisory vote, I would make darn sure that I made sure that everyone understood like everything we're getting, that we weren't getting before when the advisory vote first went up. Just to let people know that, hey, we're not ignoring you, but we got all these great additions to building it downtown to make it worth our while. Like there, we're actually getting the Spokane Public Schools is actually getting a revenue stream from having the stadium downtown. So there's a lot of good things that came out of it. I just think we the school board could have done a better job at letting people know what was going on. I think they're trying to make that better. My God. So in the future. I would just take a deep look at what's being affected by the deal and making sure it's in the school's best, Spokane Public Schools' best interest and the students' best interest before anything else comes up.
And then the last question that I have for our, every candidate is there any issues that are really important to you that were really, pivotal in your decision to run? Or do you just think that the school board needs to do a better job, and you as a school board member would focus on these things?
No, it's not a better job. It's just that I just want to add a sense of urgency to making sure that the equity resolution is followed through on. That's what I want to see. I want to make sure that this isn't a 10-year process, but a 3-year process to get the equity resolution enacted. And so what I'm trying to do is just kind of light a fire. It's a big school district. It's a big school district, the second biggest school district in the state. And things tend to move not too slow. Things tend to move slower than I would like. And so yeah, I want to get in there and find out what's going on with the school budget and try and get an itemized breakdown of what the school budget is, and then move on from there. Because as well, at the same time, I believe I read it in the Inlander a couple of years ago, that Spokane Public Schools was going to be operating at a deficit by 2024. And I would like to know where the shortfalls are coming from and what we can do to fix it. Then we can move forward and get the equity resolution, in motion, and funding different programs for schools that are falling behind a little bit and make sure our kids are getting the education they need.
All right. Well, I think that was most of the questions that I had, if you don't have anything else you want to add.
No, I it would be an honor if I were elected to serve as the school director for Spokane Public Schools, seat 4, and I hope to earn your vote. And just make sure you get out there and vote, whether or not it's for me. Just make sure you vote. We got to take part in the democratic process, and so our institutions can survive, and we can make sure that our kids are getting.